You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, coming to you today on Friday, October 18th, a couple of days before your New York Giants face the Arizona Cardinals in a key Week 7 matchup for the Giants as at 2-4. They try to stay in the NFC East race, only a game behind both the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles. As we get closer and closer to the midpoint of the 2019 NFL season, few things to talk about today. And the first one is something generated from the Thursday night football game, in which Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes suffered what I believe has been termed a fractured kneecap, has led to some speculation at SB Nation's Arrowhead Pride and other places that the Chiefs might want to explore trading for Giants veteran, now backup quarterback Eli Manning. Listen, you know, I get that. I get the idea that Manning is a guy who might be out there and might help the Chiefs. But my take on that is that, you know, Eli Manning to the Chiefs is something that I seriously doubt is going to happen. Listen, initial reports on Mahomes are that he will be out for roughly 3 weeks. First and foremost, Eli Manning has a no-trade clause. In case, you know, I think I've mentioned that before. I know I've written it at Big Blue View. Eli Manning controls this situation. If he wants to stay in New Jersey for the rest of the year, he'll do that. If he wants to be open to the possibility of moving to a contending team, you know, before the October 29th trade deadline, obviously, which is coming up in less than 2 weeks now, you know, then he'll do that. I don't, however, think that a situation like this in Kansas City is one that Eli would be willing to entertain. This is a short-term situation. Mahomes is expected back, you know, within a month, within 3 weeks. I don't see Eli as, you know, being willing to go into a situation where he's the quarterback somewhere for a couple of weeks and then sits the bench for the rest of the year as the backup, you know, in a city, in a place that he's not familiar with. If he's going to do that, I think he'll prefer to do that with the Giants, with, you know, where his wife and his children live in New Jersey, where he's comfortable, where he's spent his career. I think there is something with Eli that about staying with the Giants that is important to him. I could see Manning, if this were a season-ending injury for Patrick Mahomes, or if you get a season-ending injury to someone like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, or even, you know, Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago, someplace where you have a team that is expected to be, you know, one of the teams contending for a title at the end of the year. I could see a situation where Manning might be tempted to say, you know, I would be willing to go there for the remainder of the season, but I don't see any way that Eli would accept a trade where he would be, you know, a fill-in for 2, 3, 4 weeks and then ride the pine for the rest of the season. I just don't see that as a realistic option for him at this point in time. Couple of other things to talk about. Obviously, we have Giants and Cardinals coming up this Sunday. A little bit later on, you'll hear from Walter Mitchell of SB Nation's Revenge of the Birds. That's an interview that he and I recorded earlier in the week. And we'll break that matchup down as we get ready for Sunday. Couple of things to talk about there. On the injury front, as I record this, it's still Friday morning. We know, we've seen reports that Sterling Shepard will not play. That's no surprise coming off his second concussion of the season. I would think that the Giants will wait as long as possible, that's going to take a while. I would think it still might be a few more weeks before we see Shepard play again. It does, however, look like Saquon Barkley and Evan Engram will be back in the lineup this week. Engram has been clear that he intends to play. Barkley's been a little bit more cryptic, probably because he's being told to be that way. But all indications are that Barkley will be playing on Sunday. Obviously, the presence of both of those guys, the two biggest playmakers that the Giants really have on offense, is a huge thing for Daniel Jones. It's a huge thing for the Giants. Defensively, obviously, we know that Kyler Murray and the Arizona offense is an interesting, different kind of a matchup for the Giants. We've studied that at Big Blue View all week. We've studied, with the help of Mark Schofield, Daniel Jones, and Kyler Murray. I would encourage you guys to check out the Giants Cardinals story stream at Big Blue View. See all of our coverage this week leading up to Sunday's game. Lots of good analysis, lots of good features, a couple of good pieces on David Mayo, pieces on Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, good breakdowns of when the Giants have the ball, when the Cardinals have the ball, lots of good stuff for you, so please check that out. Let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors right now, and when we come back, we'll hear from Walter Mitchell of SB Nation's Revenge of the Birds. All right, I'm joined now by Walter Mitchell of SB Nation's Revenge of the Birds, which covers the Arizona Cardinals. Walter is the site's deputy editor, and we'll talk a little bit about Sunday's matchup. Walter, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Ed. It's a pleasure.
So, obviously, when we talk about Giants-Cardinals, the place to start has to be at quarterback. You've got Kyler Murray, the first overall pick in the draft, versus Daniel Jones, the sixth overall pick in the draft. I mean, how much are you actually looking forward to seeing those two young men, you know, on the field together for the first time?
I think it's going to be exciting. Both young quarterbacks are playing well, and they're of different styles, obviously, both are surrounded by some pretty good talent. Assuming that the Giants get back Saquon Barkley and the others who have been out, and we have Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk will probably be back for this game. So that's a bonus for us. And, of course, David Johnson and Chase Edmonds at running back. So I think it's going to be an exciting game. And the fans are going to get their money's worth.
Let's talk a little bit about Kyler Murray. Obviously, everybody knows what he did last year at Oklahoma. And we know what the questions were about Murray, you know, when the Cardinals drafted him. What has he done? And obviously, you can't judge a quarterback, you know, a quarterback's future, what he will be at this early point. But what has he done so far to answer some of those questions? And what are your thoughts on him so far?
Well, in his very first start, he and the offense were slowed down considerably by the Lions' pesky man. Man coverage, and but in the fourth quarter, Murray brought the Cardinals back from an 18-point deficit to tie the game, and the game wound up being a tie at the end of overtime, which is, as it looks now, was a pretty good tie, if ties can be pretty good, because the Lions have been playing well. If you saw their game last night, they kind of got robbed out of that one, or they would have been 3-1-1 right now. every week seems to be a stepping stone. Up until last week, we had trouble scoring in the red zone. Touchdowns, that is. We're kicking a lot of field goals with Zane Gonzalez. But last week, when we got in the red zone, we scored, the Cardinals scored 4 touchdowns and 2 field goals, which was significant progress in that area. And Murray also in recent weeks has been stepping up his scrambling and running game. He, at the end of the game, he iced the game against the Falcons with a 5-yard scamper to the sticks, and thus preventing a punt back to Matt Ryan and the Falcons, who were at that point very hot. And so the combination of, and he gets rid of the ball quickly. Much of the Cardinals' offense is predicated on precise, quick passing, and then to try to suck the defense up, and then they'll try to beat you over the top. But he's very athletic. He's got some size liability, you know, issues. I wouldn't call them liabilities necessarily, because he seems to be handling pretty well. But in recent weeks, too, he's throwing the ball away and not getting sacked. Only 1 sack in the last 2 games, which is good. So he seems to be making incremental progress, and he's a humble kid, and he's fun to watch. He's pretty electric.
Well, we know Sunday's going to be fun to watch with the 2 young quarterbacks. Walter, I need to ask you, the Cardinals are doing some things on offense that are unusual in the NFL, and obviously that makes sense with the quarterback that they have. Just tell us a little bit about the Cardinals offense and what they are doing.
Well, I call it the K-Raid for Kingsbury's version of the Cliff Kingsbury's version of the air raid offense, which he's incorporated some NFL elements into with his offensive or his quarterback coach, Tom Clements, and his offensive line coach, Sean Kugler, who have, you know, many years of NFL experience. So he's tried to, you know, you'll see Murray get under center every now and then, and they'll run a, you know, some power running game plays to David Johnson or Chase Edmonds. But usually, even then, it's combined with a jet sweep option, all kinds of elaborate motions to kind of, misdirect the linebackers or get them moving either way into space. So there's a lot of motion with flankers and wide receivers and running backs. Last week, we played more of the tight ends more than usual. So each week he seems to cater his attack to the opponents. And there's a lot of, quick wide receiver hitch screens. He tries to throw screens to both sides, fake screen one way, throw screen another. A lot of misdirection, Ed, trying to kind of keep the defense off balance. And I think the general theory is they want to sort of, what do they say, nickel and dime you into playing up, and then they want to try to attack you over the top. So a lot of misdirection, which is, it's interesting to see where the ball goes. And they've got an athletic quarterback who can make plays on the move as well. So,
all right. So what I need to ask you about next, we talked about Kyler Murray. We've talked a little bit about the offense at this point. What I need to really ask you about is Cliff Kingsbury. Obviously, hiring Kingsbury was a controversial decision, for the Cardinals. moving on from Steve Wilkes after only 1 year, moving on from Josh Rosen after only 1 year. What are your thoughts on Kingsbury as a long-term viable NFL head coach at this point?
Well, just this morning, we learned that the Cardinals are now ranked in the top 10 of offenses after six games. So that gives us a, you know, inside look at how Kingsbury is adapting to the NFL game. And I'd have to say thus far, he's been quite a success. I'm actually surprised, Ed, that in his play calling and at times he's been extra conservative. I was expecting him to take a little more chances on fourth downs, for example. But he's very much into analytics. In fact, last week it was surprising to hear him say that if there was a review of whether Murray had iced the game by getting the first down to the sticks, and the play was confirmed, so the Cardinals got the first down. But Kingsbury said after the game that they were going to plan to go for it on fourth and one if Murray was short of the sticks, which down in their territory in a 1-point game would have been really gutsy. But, you know, I think the analytics aspect of his coaching is very much a factor. He has those situations sort of charted out. I think if we can straighten out our defense, we're supposed to get a little more stability from Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator. And we were supposed to be better on that side of the ball, but the defense is ranked 30th in the league, and they've just every time the Cardinals seem to get a lead, they cough it right back. That's been an issue. We get Patrick Peterson back this week, which should be a help, but we've got some talent on that side of the ball, but it's just not gelling. And I think that if Kingsbury gets the defense settled out and has a guy there that he can trust long-term, as to your question, I think he'll be fine. I mean, his offense is very creative. And for the first time in years, Ed, I was always envious watching other teams that have creative offensive coordinators or head coaches. And I was always envious of, you know, I'm never with the Cardinals going, boy, that was a clever play. Wow, they really pulled that one out of the hat. And this year I've had more, you know, wow, what a clever play moments than I've had probably in the last 5 years of following the Cardinals. So I really like Kingsbury. He's a modest guy, not too full of himself. So I think that works well, too. The players seem to really like him. Larry Fitzgerald loves him. So, I think he's got a future. A lot of it will depend on whether, we can get the defense straightened out. As you will see on Sunday, they're not playing very well.
So let's talk about that defense a little bit, Walter. Obviously, you get Patrick Peterson back. I think if I look at the stats, I think you guys are last or second to last in pass defense. I don't think the Cardinals have an interception so far this season. Obviously, Daniel Jones has thrown six of those in four starts. You've got a couple of pass rushers in Chandler Jones and Terrell Suggs, but what really is the story with the Arizona defense so far?
Well, if it's true to form, you're going to get the ball and go down and score a touchdown the first time you get it. I have no idea why. We come out in games playing soft zones that allow the opposing quarterback easy throws. Our inability to cover a tight end is now epic. I mean, we lead the league in giving up yards and catches to tight ends. So Evan Engram, if he's available, could have a huge day if they don't make adjustments there. It's just not a very aggressive cover defense. Now, here's what happens, though, but Joseph shows that he can make some adjustments he kind of feels out the offense on the first drive, and then typically on the first drive we're giving up some chunk runs too, but then he'll tighten the screws in the running game. We've gotten better at that, at stopping that in the second and third quarters. But the when he shifts into zone coverage, it's just we don't have the kind of personnel, you know, to or an athleticism on the, you know, second and third level to pull off zones the way like the Panthers or Seahawks do. So, you know, and he's trying to play a lot of zone. I think probably because, you know, he hasn't had Patrick Peterson to shadow the other team's top wide receiver. But we do have a rookie in Byron Murphy who's played very well, in my opinion, and has a good future. And now, so, yeah, it's and then late in the game, our fourth quarter meltdowns have been pretty bad. Against the Bengals, we had a 14-point lead late in that game, and then the defense gave up 14 points in about 5 minutes that you know, turned the game in what looked like a lopsided game into a tie, and Murray had to march the team down in the final seconds to kick a game-winning field goal. And then last week, we had a 17-point lead on the Falcons in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter, and the Falcons scored 17 unanswered points to tie the game. And then Murray came down and we got a touchdown to go ahead 34-27. And then Ryan got the ball back and went the length of the field and scored. And then amazingly, Matt Bryan, who's usually automatic from extra points, hooked the extra point, and Cardinals got the ball and ran out the clock one by 1 point. So our defense late in early in games and late in games has been pretty bad, to tell you the truth. It's just, you know,
I'm sure that Giants fans, yeah, I'm sure Giants fans listen to that and think all of that sounds a lot like what's happening to us on defense with the softer zones and things like that. I mean, the Giants have their own rookie cornerback in DeAndre Baker, who's learning the NFL ropes a little bit. So it's interesting, you know, these two teams development wise are really two teams that are, you know, not only with the rookie quarterbacks, but with the developing defenses, and that they're really two teams that are kind of in the same place.
I agree. And then, of course, we have the link, the Cardinal link to your defense with James Betcher. What are your thoughts on Betcher?
Well, it's interesting. I was just about to ask you your thoughts on Betcher, because he's become kind of a lightning rod here in New York, because the defense, you know, he came to New York with the reputation of being a really aggressive defensive coordinator, of having coordinated defenses in Arizona that played really, really well. I think we're top 10 defenses for 3 years running. And last year's Giants defense was bad. This year's Giants defense is young, and there's potential there. It's kind of an improving unit, but we haven't seen the kind of defense that Betcher had in Arizona. We haven't seen that in New York. And there's some who might wonder, was he just a guy who happened to be gifted with some great players in Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson and Calais Campbell for a while, and Marcus Golden when he was at his best, and Dion Buchanan? Is he just a guy that was fortunate to have those players, or is he really a top-notch defensive coordinator who just doesn't have everything he needs yet?
Yeah, great questions. I have some perspective on that, because I and many other Cardinal fans were disappointed when Todd Bowles left that Bruce Arians promoted James Betcher, who then had only had 2 or 3 years NFL experience as an assistant coach. Felt it was premature to, you know, promote him. At the same time, Ed, you know, Wade Phillips was available. Jim Schwartz was available, and I don't know if it was Bruce Arians' hubris or whatever, his own, like, want to, you know, he's big, he's high on developing his own coaching tree. But amazingly, he tabs Betcher, and I have to tell you, don't look at the statistics on those defenses, because, you know, in his first year, it was a continuation. We had a very good defense, and we were 13-3 in the regular season, but the defense wasn't playing that great. And to tell you the truth, and then in the two of the last three games, they got blown out at home by Seattle in week 17. The defense was horrible that day. And then in the NFC Championship game against Carolina, we just got waxed. And the defense was like pushing and shoving each other on the sidelines. It was an epic meltdown. I think we gave up 49 points that day in Carolina. It's just an embarrassment. And that sort of carried over into the next season. Typically, what Betcher does a nice job of is in his 3-4 is he knows how to sell out to defend the run. So he can do that. But the problem with his defenses in Arizona from that point on were just, you know, very sporadic tackling, a lot of missed tackles. Guys like Tyrann Mathieu stopped tackling in that defense, which caused the Cardinals to release him, which was kind of weird. So I think the older players weren't really stepping up the way we hope. Patrick Peterson hasn't wanted to tackle anybody in about 5 years. And that, I don't know if that'll continue to be an issue with Vance Joseph, but just turned soft and unreliable on defense. And the reason why the stats sort of lie is that the Cardinals offense was, you know, with David Johnson in, 2016, where, you know, would go down on these long time consuming marches into the red zone and keep the ball away from the other offense. So total yards and things like that may have worked in the defensive favor, but I'm just not sure that Betcher's, you know, experienced enough to, match wits with the, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do against the Cardinals. I mean, they did play, I thought, pretty solid defense against Tom Brady last Thursday night. I was impressed with the first half anyway, and then they you know, the Patriots wore them out. But and Marcus Golden, we miss him. He's he's a baller, and we were very upset that that the Cardinals just didn't do enough to re-sign him. And then you've got some other pieces on there, but I never really understood why Betcher at his, you know, inexperience. And I think he's just having normal growth pains for someone who really hasn't done all that much. Up until the Cardinals hired him as defensive coordinator, he hadn't been a defensive coordinator anywhere, not in college and not in the pros. So I think it's a matter of inexperience. I think he's got a fiery enough personality, and I think that he's a smart guy, but it takes time, as you probably know. And, I think that's, you're seeing some of that carryover on the Giants.
Interesting stuff, Walter. Interesting stuff. I have one final question for you before we let you go. Today on Big Blue View, we have a feature from Matt Williamson, who used to work on the University of Pittsburgh staff and was involved in recruiting Larry Fitzgerald, who you guys obviously have had the pleasure of watching for more than a decade now. Just talk to me about Fitzgerald, about what it's been like to watch him for the last, 15 years now,
right?
And just, you know, what he still brings to the table.
Yeah, it's, you know, Cardinal fans have been so privileged to be able to watch Larry Fitzgerald, Larry Legend, week after week. He's the consummate pro, consummate teammate. He's always picking other people up. Unlike Patrick Peterson, who said his number one goal is to wear a yellow jacket and not necessarily win a Super Bowl, Larry Fitzgerald's the complete opposite. Larry lives and breathes the hope for the hope of playing in another Super Bowl. He's a team-oriented guy. And, you know, he's still playing at a very high level, which is a testament to his training regimen. His training regimen is very Jerry Rice-esque. And, you know, I mean, he's a big, you know, he's got such a wingspan and he's just got those Velcro hands. He catches everything in the triangle between the two hands, just as you teach it. You know, he's so fundamentally strong and he's tough. He plays tough. He will lower his shoulder. He'll take the hits and bounce right up. You know, and he leaves it all out on the field. And normally when guys get 16 years in, they take a few plays off. Well, with Larry, he never takes a play off. He's now in an offense that I think he's really excited about. It's up tempo. And, you know, for a guy his age, you think he might want to slow it down a little bit, but he's actually hoping it goes faster. You'll see in between plays, it's a lot of no huddle and they try to snap the ball quickly. And Larry's loving that. So we're hoping he can play a couple more years beyond this one. And I think with as much fun as he's having this year, that might be a decent chance. You know, he's second behind Rice for all-time receptions. And at first it seemed like that was an impossible thing, you know, goal to ever achieve. But actually even Rice said the other day that he thinks Larry can beat his record if Larry sticks with it. So, we've been very blessed, Ed, you know, I think it's kind of sad for you guys these days just to watch Eli Manning, who was in that same draft class and has had, he's a class guy as well. They both were co-NFL, philanthropists of the year or whatever that award is, right? Where they...
Right, just a couple of years ago.
Yes. And, they both meant so much to their franchise. It's kind of sad to see Eli on the sidelines, but, you know, with Daniel Jones in the fold now, it seems to make sense.
All right. Hey, well, we'll be looking forward to Sunday's matchup, Walter. Thank you very, very much. I hope that your readers will check out that piece that we have on Big Blue View on Fitzgerald as well. And we'll talk to you again. Thank you much.
Thanks, Ed. Best of luck to you and the Giants.
All right, Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please remember to stop back here on Big Blue View Radio after Sunday's Giants-Cardinals game for the Chris and Joe show as Chris Flum and Joe DeLeon break down some initial thoughts, quick takes on the Giants-Cardinals result, you know, from the game on Sunday. All right, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View on all of your favorite podcast applications, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.